You have probably heard the parable of the three bricklayers. Three bricklayers were asked, "What are you doing?" The first one said, "I'm laying bricks." The second one said, "I'm building a church." The third one said, "I'm building the house of God." So the first man has a job. "I'm laying bricks. I'm making money. I'm supporting my family. I have a job." The second one has a career. "I'm building a church. Maybe after this, I'll build another building. I have a career." The third one has a calling. "I'm building the house of God. I'm doing something really important for others. I'm part of a big picture." That's a calling, a vocation. Most people see their work as one or two, as a job or a career. But the gospel today asks us to look at our work as a calling or a vocation. So when I'm talking about work, I'm talking about whatever you do, whether it's paid work, volunteer work, whether you're retired, whether you're young, old, raising families, whatever you do, that's the work. And it's a calling. See it as a calling. You don't necessarily have to change your work, but maybe look at it in a different way. A few years ago, I was out in Seattle, and I rode up the Space Needle. I don't know if you've done that, but there's an elevator operator, a young 25-year-old woman, very vivacious, and it was a glass elevator. So all the way up, she's pointing things out. There's Puget Sound. There's Queen Anne's Hill. "I've been up here 5,256 times. I know everything. Ask me whatever you want." Nobody said anything. So I said, "You really like your job, don't you?" "Like it. I love it." I said, "What do you love about it?" She goes, "Are you kidding me? I'm the elevator operator on the Space Needle." There's a woman who has a vocation. She sees a big picture. She's helping people. Joe Leader works in the New York City Transit Authority. His job is to replace ties and putting in new rails in the subway system. He said this, "If you do it right, these ties and rails will last for 30 years. My job helps people travel from here to there for 30 years. I help them get where they need to be. I'm responsible for moving people in this city. They depend on me, and I love it." He has a vocation. Some of you know Remy. Remy's an actor for Jiva, and whenever he's in town, he always comes to our church. He sits right around here. And I went to lunch with him one time. I said, "Remy, how did you get into acting?" He said, "I wanted to be part of something bigger than myself." I always remember that. I always wanted to be part of something bigger than myself. So Jesus begins his ministry by proclaiming the big picture. The kingdom of God is at hand. Change your lives, believe in the good news. The kingdom of God is the big picture. God's dream for the world, where justice and peace and equality reign. And he says, the kingdom of God is at hand. My hand is pretty close. Your hand is pretty close to you. That's how close the kingdom of God is. It's at hand. And so the kingdom of Caesar is not the only reality. The kingdom of American politics is not the only reality available to us. Things don't have to be the way they are. The kingdom of God is at hand. It's time to build an alternative world. God's dream for the world. So the first thing Jesus does after announcing this, he gathers his inner circle. He builds a team. The sociologist Sorokin did a study of all the great lovers of history, all the people who made a major impact on society, people like Buddha, Gandhi, Mother Teresa, Martin Luther King, Jesus. They had this one thing in common. They always built an inner circle of people. They had a team. They were never solo practitioners. It wasn't a one-man team or a one-woman team. So Jesus sets about to build his team. And he picks ordinary people. He goes down to the sea, which is where he'd like to be. And he sees two fishermen, Peter and Andrew. And he says, "Come, follow me." Immediately, they leave their nets and follow him. Goes a little farther along the sea, and he comes across James and John, and he says, "Follow me." At once, they left their father and their co-workers in the boat. Notice the words, immediately they left, at once they left. They didn't ponder the invitation. They didn't say, huh, I wonder what this would mean for my livelihood. I wonder what this would be for my family. Would it mean I'd have to leave town? This would really upset things. Immediately, they responded. There was a sense of urgency. Next, Jesus asked some women, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Susanna, Mary the mother of Joses, Martha and Mary of Bethany, at once, immediately, they follow too. So there's a real urgency to Jesus' call. No place in the gospel does Jesus say, look, I'd like to have you with me, but go home, think about it, get back to me tomorrow. There's an emergency and urgency to it. There's an urgency to changing our world. How about the earth? There's an urgency to changing our earth. It's warming up. 2017 was the second warmest year on the books. The four warmest years in world history have been in the last 7 years. There's an urgency. We've got to change our ways. There's an urgency to dismantling sexism and racism. Mary, who read today, was on one of the women's marches. We had some people in our parish going down to Seneca Falls here in Rochester, and then 300 cities, there's been women marches this weekend, saying that it's way overdue to end sexism and racism. There's an urgency to dealing with the opioid epidemic. We've already lost 5 people in our parish this year. Fentanyl is killing our young people. That's why the work of Grace of God Recovery House, Jennifer House, and Nielsen House is so crucial to help people become sober and stay sober. And by the way, Jennifer House and Nielsen House were both opened in the month of January, and we always celebrate their birthdays. So next Thursday is the birthday for both Jennifer House and Nielsen House. Jennifer House will be 16 years old, and Nielsen House for men will be 10 years old. So if you want to come on Thursday night and help celebrate that with us, because these are crucial ministries. It's a matter of life and death for hundreds of our people. There's also an urgency to show affection to our loved ones. One of the readings today that Sue read said that time is running out, time is short. And just think about the people that really matter to you, the people in your life. Are you showing them enough affection? 5 years ago, we buried Sam Cerami, and he worked for the Rochester Police Department. He was an officer. He said, every morning, before I went to work, I went into each bedroom of my kids, and I watched them sleep, because it was quite early when he left. He watched each of his kids sleep. He said, with a job as dangerous as mine, you never know when the last time you're going to see your kids is. So there's an urgency to showing love to the people around us. When Jesus calls his disciples and says, the kingdom of God is at hand, follow me, notice he says, follow me. He doesn't say, follow my ethic, follow my standards, follow my philosophy. He says, follow me. What is unique about Christianity? How does that differ from Judaism, Buddhism, and all the other religions? What is unique about it? Is it the Golden Rule? Is it the Sermon on the Mount? Is it love God and neighbor? The unique thing about Christianity is Christ himself. It's he that makes it unique. And so to be a Christian is to be radically like Jesus, to be just like him. That means being nonviolent, loving our enemies, living simply, never judging or condemning anybody, making the poor our priority, never excluding anybody, accepting sufferings rather than inflicting sufferings, and forgiving people 70 times 7. I spoke with a man recently. He said, I am terrible about forgiving. He said, I know I'm supposed to forgive 70 times 7. He said, with me, it's like 1 times 1. 70 times 7. Being a Christian means to be like Jesus. It's radical. And it's the radical love that will change the world, bring about the kingdom of God, God's dream for the world. When asked, how do you know what your vocation is? That's a good question, right? How do you know what your vocation is? Joseph Campbell made famous the phrase, follow your bliss. There's a book called Follow Your Bliss. Find out what brings you joy and do it. And that's an important part of figuring out our vocation, finding out what makes us happy. But that's not all there is. There's another question to ask. What is the world asking of me? What does the world need from me? Not just what makes me happy, which is important, but what does the world need from me right now? What is God asking me to do to make the world better? So to be called by God, and each one of us is to be enlisted in God's service. And it's a heart-to-heart call. It operates by faith, not logic. It's heart-to-heart. It surpasses reason. That's why these fishermen got up immediately, because they didn't think it out. It wasn't rational. It was a heart-to-heart. There was something about Jesus that pulled them right in. So we're called beyond our self-interest. We're called to improve humanity. We're called to see the bigger picture, the dream God has for the world, the kingdom of God. So the question in life is what I'm doing in my life right now improving humanity? Is what I'm doing improving humanity? Not just does it benefit me or my career. The bricklayer who says, I'm laying bricks, can become the bricklayer who says, I'm building the house of God. We don't have to change our professions. We just have to change our priorities.